Good morning, brothers and sisters. Good to see you here. And I haven't been quite a while to be with you. This morning, I'll be sharing a message with you. And then let us commit our time to the Lord. Lord, we commit the time to you. Lord, as we gather together in your name, as we read your scriptures, read your words, Lord, we pray that you speak to our hearts, so that we can hear you, so that we can know you and know your salvation and know your great love to us. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. More than 20 years ago, mankind entered to the new millennium. When the last moment of the 31st December 1999 passed into the midnight of the 1st of January 2000, there was a very special word illuminated on the Sydney Harbour Bridge. Those people who were born before 2000, year 2000, you might know or remember. But I think a lot of you sitting here today is born after 2000, right? But you can guess. It's all right. Okay. Maybe you have already seen the word. Is that right? Yeah. Originally, I would like you to guess what this word is. The word is eternity. Yeah, you can show. This word has been seen by 2 billion people around the world through the TV live stream at that time. And in the same year, September, the same word, eternity, was shown as part of the opening ceremony of the Olympic Games, also at Sydney Harbour Bridge. But this time, this word has been viewed by 4 billion people around the world. In fact, this word, the eternity, should be well looked at by all the people in the world, 8 billions. Because everyone should listen to this word and think carefully and thoroughly about this word. It is because this word relates to our ultimate destiny, our eternal destiny. Do you know your own eternal destiny? Do you have the security of your eternal destiny? I hope that each one of you sitting here today has the security of your own eternal destiny. In the Bible, in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 11, it says, let us read together. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart. He here refers to God. God has put eternity into man's heart. Today my theme is, where will you be in eternity? In the whole physical world God created, only man has the concept or consciousness of eternity. Animals do not have the concept of awareness of eternity. From the Ecclesiastes we just read, we know that it is God himself to put eternity, deliberately put eternity into man's heart. The reason God put eternity in man's heart is because God wants mankind knows man has eternity. Man, together with the spirit, is forever, lasts forever. Human being is aware of their future and eternity. Human beings care for their own eternity. For example, Qin Shi Huang, in the 3rd century BC, he was the first emperor of China, the founder of Qin Dynasty. He cared for his own eternity. He wanted to live forever. He didn't want to die. He sent hundreds or thousands of young men and women to go overseas to find elixir of life for him to take so that he can live forever. Of course, he couldn't find any. We know that because he died, like all other men die in the world. He died at age 49. He needed to face death and died. In God's original creation, God saw all are good. There was no death. Why now everyone in the world has to die? Paul explained in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Let us read together. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sin. Here the one man is Adam. He is the first man on earth. Adam sinned. Through his sin, sin came into the world, and all men, his descendants, sinned as well. Because sin came to this world, death came to this world as well. Because all men sinned, death spread to all men. Therefore, everyone dies. Apostle Paul continued to explain why death came into this world through sin in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, first part. He said, for the wages of sin is death. Wage means return or reward. When you do a part-time job, if you work hard for an hour or for a day, you will receive money as your wage for your hard work for that 1 hour or 1 day. The same way is for sin. If a person sins, he or she will receive return or reward of sin, which is death. Why? Because it is what God warned beforehand and promised beforehand at the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, where God said to Adam in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 to 17. Let us read together. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. We know that tragically, Adam did later eat the tree of life, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day he sinned through eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the day death started to come upon Adam. Previously, Adam has close fellowship with God, with his spirit. Now, because of sin, Adam's spirit became dead, and his fellowship with God was cut off. Secondly, death started to impact the physical body of Adam, and his physical body was going to die eventually. That's why Paul said, the wages of sin is death. To Adam, it is true. The wages of Adam's sin is Adam's death. To him, his sin and his spirit died. Later, his physical body also died. To every one of us, as Adam's descendants, it is also true. The wages of our sins is our death. We inherited the sinful life of Adam when we were born. Our spirit is dead because of our sinful life from Adam. Later, our physical body will die one day. The fact that everyone dies physically tells us that everyone is a sinner. However, not everyone is born spiritually dead and dies later physically. Not only that, after physical death, everyone needs to face the appointment of judgment as well. Just like what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Let us read together. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. This appointment of death and judgment are for everyone, including powerful emperor like Qin Shi Huang and common people like you and me in all human history. The judgment after the physical death determines our eternal destiny. That's why God put eternity in man's heart. He wants mankind to care for their own eternal destiny. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 to 15, talks about this judgment in the last day, where the Apostle John says there. Let us read verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. The one who sits on the great white throne is God, who is going to carry out the judgment one day. Let us read verse 12. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. All people, after their physical death, stand before God's great white throne. There are two kinds of books being opened. The first kind of books recorded what all the people had done when they were on earth. There are many books of this kind. They are plural in numbers. They can be many. The second kind of book is a singular in number. There is only one book of this kind. This book is called the Book of Life. This book recorded all the names of those people who have eternal life from God. Verse 13, let us read. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them according to what they had done. All the people were judged according to what they had done on earth. What they did on earth were recorded in those many books. And then verse 14 and 15. Let us read together. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Verse 14 talks about the second death. The first death is the physical death everyone has to go through. The second death is the lake of fire. Jesus said, in the lake of fire, in the hell, the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. We don't know how much pain or suffering in the hell, but Jesus used the wordings we can understand. He said, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Based on what a person had done on earth, his life and deeds were written on the first kind of books. It is because everyone was a sinner, and the sinful deeds were written on the books. Therefore, no one can escape from the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15 points out that there is only one exception. That is for those whose names are on the book of life. They won't be thrown into the lake of fire, the hell. They don't need to face the second death. Instead, they have eternal life. As John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, it says, Let us read the verse we are very familiar with, but this is a very important verse in the Bible. Let us read 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This verse tells us that God, who created all things, loved all men in the world. God loved man to such an extent that he is even willing to sacrifice his own Son, Jesus, on the cross to be the Lamb of God. Being the Lamb of God, Jesus bore all our punishment of our sins on the cross. Through his death, his blood cleansed our sins and can take away our sins. Jesus not only shed his blood and died on the cross, but also resurrected on the third day, which we celebrate and remember last weekend. Not only he can forgive our sins, but also he can give us eternal life. Whoever believes in Jesus to be a Savior has eternal life. His or her name will be written in the book of life. They don't perish. They won't be thrown into the lake of fire to experience the second death. This is the desire of God to save sinners. And then verse 17, we read together. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So this is God's heart. God doesn't want to condemn the world. He wants to save the world because he loves us. God doesn't want us to face the judgment of God and be thrown into the lake of fire. He wants our name to be written in the book of life. Many years ago, a lady from Adelaide came to Sydney to visit her friends. Before leaving Sydney, she went to George Street of Sydney City Centre to buy souvenirs. A short old man with white hairs offered her a gospel tract and said to her, "Excuse me, madam, are you saved? If you die tonight, are you going to heaven?" She was very disturbed by these words. This morning, may I ask you a similar question? As the short old man asked the lady, "Are you saved? Has your name been written in the book of life? If you died tonight, are you going to heaven?" As I ask you this question, what do you feel? And how do you answer? When the lady got back to Adelaide, this question kept disturbing her. Later, she found a pastor of a church near her home, and eventually he led her to Christ. A British sailor called Peter Culver testified that one day when he walked on the George Street in Sydney City Centre, a man approached him asking him, "Young man, if you were to die tonight, where would you be? In heaven or in hell?" Peter was very shocked because no one has asked him this question before. However, this question stuck with him and was around him since then. When he went back to England, he found a Christian friend who helped him to believe in Jesus. There was another young man serving in UK Royal Navy called Noel Stanton. Their ship anchored at Sydney Harbour Bridge, Harbour. One night, he was walking on George Street in city centre of Sydney. A man said to him, "Young man, I have a question for you. If you die tonight, where will you go to? Heaven or hell?" "It has to be one of the two. Please don't avoid the question." This question troubled Noel for a few months. Eventually, he found a Christian to help him, and he believes in Jesus, committing to follow him. There's an army officer called Murray Wills. As he rushed to take a tram on George Street at Sydney City Center, a voice behind him calling him. "Hey, wait." A stranger asked him, "Soldier, if you were to die tonight, where will you go? Would it be heaven or hell?" Murray replied, "I hope I'll go to heaven." The stranger said, "Hoping isn't good enough. You can know." Later, Murray testified that the stranger exposed a serious issue in his life. Though he lived a decent life, he was married, he go to church, he knew that he was a hypocrite, and had never faced the question of eternal destiny. 2 weeks later, in his army camp, Murray knelt down and gave his life to Christ. A church leader in Perth testified that how he became a Christian. He said, "I was growing up in the church community since I was very young. Though I have been very involved in church activities and even ministry, but I never seriously followed Christ." He said that once he had a business trip to Sydney. One day he walked along George Street, a city center. A short old man with white hair came to ask him, "Excuse me, sir, have you been saved? If you die tonight, will you go to heaven?" He said to the man very angrily, "I'm an elder of my church." After he flew back to Perth, he shared this unhappy story with the pastor of his church and expect him to show some empathy for him. To his surprise, the pastor replied that he had been praying for him for many years. By the help of his church pastor, he repented, committing his life to Jesus. All the personal testimonies of the above five people were heard by an English pastor called Francis Dixon at different times and occasions. Another Indian Hindu man told Pastor Dixon how he became a Christian. He said he was living in a sinful and dark life not known to others. He worked as a foreign affairs officer for Indian government, so he had a lot of opportunities to go overseas for business trips. One day he was buying souvenirs for his wife and children at Sydney City Center. A short old man with white hair approached him asking, "Excuse me, sir, are you saved? If you die tonight, will you go to heaven?" This question made him feeling very uncomfortable. When he went back to India, he sought help from his Hindu priest. The Hindu priest couldn't satisfy him. Then he met a Christian preacher, and he led him to Christ. Later, he resigned his foreign affairs work with Indian government, and he became a missionary. Pastor Dixon heard many other stories of this short old man with white hairs, and how his question has caused people to think about their eternal destiny. He was very curious to know who this old man was and wanted to find him. One day when he was in Sydney, Pastor Dixon eventually found this short old man at his very small home. His name is called Frank Jenner. The photo on the left is when he was young. The photo on the right is when he was old. He found out that Frank Jenner was famous for asking people the question, if you died in within 24 hours, where would you be in eternity? Heaven or hell? Pastor Dixon told the elderly Frank the conversion testimonies he heard in the past many years. Then Frank was in tears and said, in the past many years, though I sometimes see people believing in Jesus on the spot of our conversation, but no one came back to tell them, to tell him, he or she continued in their faith in Jesus. And the elderly Frank continued, before I believed in Jesus, I was a sailor living in debauchery life, addicted in gambling. When I believed in Jesus, he changed my life. He freed me from my gambling addiction. I was very grateful to my Lord. I wanted to serve him. My goal was to witness to 10 people a day for the rest of my life. All this year in the past, no matter during times of war or peace, easy or difficult, he tried to stick to this resolution. Frank Jenner later had Parkinson's disease and couldn't carry on his work anymore. He went to the Lord in 1977 at the age of 73. Someone estimated that he witnessed to more than 100,000 people. This short old white-haired man used to ask these questions. Excuse me, sir. If you died within 24 hours, where would you be in eternity? Heaven or hell? Our lives are not under our control. We are not sure how much time we have in this life. But we can sure of what Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27 says. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. How certain is the appointment of each person to die once? The same certainty is the appointment of the judgment each person needs to face. For those whose names was not written in the book of life, the same certainty is the second death, which is the hell of eternal fire. Today someone live as if there's no God and no hell. They wish there's nothing after death. They wish that they will just disappear after death, just like Adolf Hitler, wishing that he didn't need to face the holy God for the people he has killed. I know a couple. The husband said he himself was a Christian. He was even involved in some church ministry. He had an extramarital relationship. Once he said to me, I want to be with my girlfriend, and I'm not afraid to go to hell. I said to him, it is not that you are not afraid of hell, only that you feel that hell is very far away from you. That's why you want to continue with your sin and enjoy your sinful pleasure. If tomorrow you face the fire of hell, you will have a very different attitude towards sin and hell. Some people, when they are still healthy, they may say, I'm not afraid of hell. But when they are lying on their deathbed, their conscience can cause them to think of their sins and the righteous judgment of God. Jesus loves us. He wants to save us from the judgment of eternal hell. He knows the suffering and horror of hell. He knows that hell is eternal. He wants us to run away from the eternal hell. Everyone should run away from the eternal hell and run towards Him, run towards Jesus. Just like running away quickly from fire, there's a fire in a wedding party in Nineveh province of Iraq a few months ago. The fire grew very rapidly after fireworks were lit during the celebration. More than 100 people have been killed and 150 people injured. If you were there, you will run away from fire for your life with urgency. We should now run away from the fire of hell, like running away from the hell, from the fire in that wedding party. Otherwise, when death suddenly comes to us without warning, it might be too late. Even on our deathbed, we might not have the adequate consciousness or opportunity to hear or think about the salvation of Jesus. Jesus loves us. In order to save us from the judgment of hell, He came to the world to be the Lamb of God. Whoever has eternal life from Jesus, his or her name is written in the book of life. They don't need to face the second death in the hell. Have your name be written in the book of life? Have you prepared yourself to see God, your Creator, to give accountability to the Holy God and righteous God? Do you have the security of your eternal destiny? Jesus cares for your eternal destiny. Do you care for your own eternal destiny? Because of the eternal destiny, the word eternity shown on the Sydney Harbour Bridge in year 2000. Actually, this word was written in chalk by hand on many streets in Sydney for more than 35 years by a man called Arthur Stace. Arthur Stace lived in Sydney. His parents has 4 siblings. All are alcoholics. His 2 sisters ran brothels. He lived in a neglected poverty. He lived by stealing, often in and out of jail since 15 years old. In his 20s, he worked in brothels. His alcohol addiction was so severe that he was nearly forced to admit to the mental illness accommodation for life. In his 40s, one day he went to a church to receive free food, just like we do hands and feet in Auburn these days. After other days, heard the gospel preaching, he looked at the Christian at the front and looked at himself. He said, "I'm having a go at what they have got." And then he knelt down and prayed. He believed in Jesus and committed his life to Him. God heard his prayer. His sin was forgiven and he received eternal life. He became a child of God. His name was written in the book of life. Gradually, the Lord transformed his life. God freed him from severe alcohol addiction. God gave him a normal job to live a normal life. After some months, Arthur Stace attended a church meeting, hearing the preaching, the preacher shouting, "I wish I could shout eternity through the streets of Sydney." As the preacher repeatedly shouting the word eternity in his message, the word eternity keep sticking and ringing in other states' mind as he left the meeting place. Suddenly, he began crying and felt a powerful call from the Lord to write the word eternity. And then he used a piece of chalk in his pocket and bent down to write it on the ground. Later, he testified that before he could not know how to write because he has no school, no schooling when he was young. He was an illiterate. However, that day he could spell the whole word eternity correctly, even in beautiful copper plate script font. He couldn't understand how this can happen. Later, he started to write the word eternity every early morning on Sydney Street. His daily routine is to get up and pray 4 o'clock in the morning. After breakfast, he went out at 5 o'clock in the morning, started writing the word eternity. He did this for more than 35 years around Sydney streets. He wanted to arouse people's heart to think about eternity for their own eternal destiny. Later, he got a nickname called Mr. Eternity. Someone estimated that he has written 500,000 words of eternity. Not only his words, eternity, have been seen by thousands or millions of Sydney pedestrians on Sydney streets. It was seen by billions of people on Sydney Harbour Bridge in year 2000. In the first half of other states' life, it was full of pity, sins, and suffering. Because of receiving eternal life through believing in Jesus, he experienced the transformation work by the Lord. He lived a meaningful life, knowing the grace and love of God in the second half of his life. He has the security of eternal destiny. I hope every one of you have this too. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your precious salvation. Lord, we thank you for your great love to accomplish the salvation on the cross for us. Lord, we pray that each one of us, we can have the security of the eternal destiny. So we pray that your word, your salvation, speak into our hearts for those people they haven't believed in you. Lord, we pray that the word eternity rings in our heart, causes us to run away from the hell of fire and run towards you. And Lord, we pray also that for those we have believed in you, we can treasure what a wonderful eternal life you have given to us, so that we can live on earth and to live for you, and to witness you, and bring your gospel to people around us. Lord, hear our prayer. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.